Welcome to the Binge Eating to Food Freedom podcast with Katie Papo. Our mission is to share the simplest and most peaceful system for food freedom in the world with people who suffer from binge eating, food addiction, and compulsive overeating. We're here to show that with the right strategy and support, any committed, coachable, and resourceful individual can feel peaceful and free with food.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode. My name is Katie Papo, and this podcast is designed to help you heal your relationship with food, to end binge eating permanently, emotional eating, food addiction, so you can feel normal around food and peaceful and free. So today's topic is more about a mindset, and it's about letting go or stopping caring about what other people think of you. One of the things that comes to me when I hear this, because I've seen it a lot. I've seen, you know, people ask, you know, how do I stop caring what other people think of me? Or this person said this about me and now I feel insecure. What do I do? Or I'm nervous to, you know, go to the gym because I'm afraid of what other people will think. Or I'm afraid to see my family for the holidays because they're going to see that I gained weight and I'm afraid to hear what they're going to say. So this can show up in a variety of different ways. Our perception of caring what other people think, right? This can manifest in big ways, like with major life decisions, and preventing ourselves from making important life decisions because of what other people think, or having a difficult time making those decisions because we're too busy anticipating what other people think. Or it can come down to like tiny things, you know, like smaller day-to-day stuff, like wearing a bathing suit or going for a walk outside or going to the gym or eating in front of someone else. So there's a variety of ways that this can manifest in macro and micro ways. And the reason why I wanted to cover this topic is because this is actually an area where I've always been pretty strong. And of course, you know, I think with anyone, there's going to be some, you know, just because of how we're wired socially and that we're social beings, there's going to be some consideration, at least, of what are other people thinking of me right now. So I think that that's a normal and natural thing. But once it gets to the point where it's starting to dictate the decisions that you're making in your life, and you're no longer making your decisions based on your own needs and wants and desires, but instead you're making it based on other people's needs, wants, and desires, or based on just your own insecurities or fear of what others might think of you, that's when it can become a problem, because then it starts to actually impact your life and your life decisions, whether it's in a big way, like a big life decision, or a small way, like, you know, just showing up at the beach or eating a snack in front of somebody else. So so it's funny, I personally, with this topic, I really have just one solution that I've been following for as long as I can remember. But in preparation for this talk, I was curious to see what experts had to say on the subject. So I researched, I read some articles based in psychology, and I came across some good stuff. But to me, none of it boiled down to the root. And I'd still like to share some of those things, but ultimately I want to spend the majority of this talk on, you know, really the one thought process that I've used in my life in hopes that it will help you. And of course, I'm not claiming that this is the best way or the right way, but I do think it gets to the core of things, and it served me thus far and continues to. And I found that with my own personal experience, my interest in other people's opinions has become less and less. So even though I might still have some insecurities that I work through, I've been finding that as time goes on, I'm becoming less and less interested in other people's opinions. And with regard to how I live my life, of course, I'm interested in hearing people's opinions about lots of things, but I'm just talking about with regard to how I make my life decisions. So I'll go over today, I'll just go over a few of the things that I found in my research that I think are also helpful, but then I'm going to go down to like the bulk of it and talk about really my perspective on this and the things that the main thing that I've thought of that has guided me through this process of letting go of other people's opinions. So there is some other good advice out there. So I want to acknowledge what's out there. And I did read in some articles some things that came up pretty frequently that I do agree with. The first thing is that it's important to remember that just because someone has an opinion about something, including yourself, it doesn't mean that it's true. So if you're worried about what other people think of you, or if you're even judging yourself, right, it can be helpful to even ask the question, is it true? Right? Is it true that I am the worst person in the world? Right? Sometimes we can say these things to ourselves, and it's helpful to question, you know, is this the mind just being dramatic, or someone else's mind being dramatic, or is this actually, does this actually hold validity? And that's a really helpful question to ask. And it also kind of stems to this next piece of advice that I came across multiple times, that to consider that if someone says something that's really getting to you, there's a chance that this is kind of activating in your own insecurity that was already there, right? A lot of times we can look at other people as a mirror to ourselves. And when we see something in someone else that we don't like, and then we turn that mirror and we look back at ourselves, we can see, you know, oftentimes where we're doing that exact same thing. So if someone is criticizing something about you, right, and you feel, you know, especially hurt by it or especially attacked, maybe start asking yourself, do I think this about myself? Because then you're at the point where now it's no longer about that other person. It's actually about your relationship with you, which is much easier to control, your own relationship with yourself, because you can exert control with yourself. And there are ways to do that, that we teach all the time. So that's important to understand, is that this could be coming from your own insecurity. And then at that point, your inner job is to work on supporting yourself. And that's another way to stop caring about what other people think of you, is to actively support yourself more, right? To become more of a friend to yourself. Because if we feel like we're always against ourselves, then we can't really progress in our lives. We kind of, that tends to be the thing that puts us in a loop. So, and then the other thing that I read that I don't think it helps people to stop caring what other people think. I think it's more of an avoidance tactic, but I think it's avoidance tactics go, I think it's one of the better ones. Just simply not subjecting yourself to the opinions of others unnecessarily. Of course, people will always, you know, give their opinions when we didn't ask, right? But when we're like seeking out people's opinions and we're going to react poorly if we don't like them, why are we seeking them out, you know, from people who we might not necessarily even care for their opinion that much? But if we're subjecting ourselves to the opinions of others unnecessarily, you know, and you feel like they're going against you, that's obviously going to create some kind of opposition. And it can be helpful, right, to find your own tribe, as they say, find people who are like-minded, who think like you, so you can feel more validated in your way of thinking, or way of seeing the world, or way of seeing yourself. So, and I would say that kind of thing can be best used, you know, when it's easily avoided. But obviously, I don't usually promote avoidance tactics, because I don't want to promote avoiding the world. And it's important to feel free when we go out, and have that courage to go out and put our real selves out there. And sometimes when we're trying to avoid hearing the opinions of others, we kind of avoid the world as well. So if it works to avoid, you know, sharing your plans, let's say, with someone who isn't going to be unconditionally supportive, of course, you don't have to actively go out and tell the world every single thing you're thinking and doing. You can be more selective about who you share your deeper thoughts and feelings with. But at the same time, we don't want to avoid the world in general, if that makes sense. So those are some good advice that I was reading about this morning that I thought I would just emphasize. But for me, I've found that what has prevented me or kept me over time being less and less invested in what other people think of me is, it really boils down to one simple thing. And some people might view this as morbid, but I don't mind. I think it's important to remember the big thing here when you're living your life is that one day you will die. And this is what I remind myself of. And why that? Why would I remind myself of that? Isn't that morbid? Isn't that depressing? I don't think so. Because what it does is it allows us to have a shift in perspective. That in the grand scheme of my life, if I were to fast forward myself and I were to put myself on my deathbed and I were to look back, right, on the grand scheme of my life, what is most important, right? What most people, you know, find is that they want to live the way that feels most aligned to them. So on my deathbed, when I'm thinking about what's most important to me, am I going to be thinking about what that person, what that random stranger was thinking about me when I was at the gym? Or am I going to be worried about what that, you know, acquaintance was thinking about me when I was wearing a bathing suit? Or am I going to think about, you know, what I'm going to be concerned about at that point is, did I live my life in alignment with myself? And ultimately, when it comes down to it, that's really all that matters, right? Are you going to be thinking about other people's opinions at that point? And what is this, when we fast forward and we think about death, right? You know, whatever your thoughts or beliefs are about death, most people agree that, you know, we have this one life to live as this version of ourselves, right? Like, this is the one chance that we get. This is the one chance that you get to live this life as you. So your job, right, as you move through this life is simply to live this life in the highest and best way for you so that you can look back on your life and feel satisfied with how you stayed true to yourself, with how you stay true to those who you care about, and how you conducted yourself throughout that life. And for me, that always just shifted things perfectly into perspective, where if I had little insecurities, like just the other day, I had some insecurity when our cat Henry passed away very suddenly about a week and a half ago. And we were very, very close and we spent tons of time together. And so I was grieving a lot. And when I was taking walks around our apartment complex, I was crying a lot. And I knew I needed to get out into nature and make myself, you know, feel better and get some fresh air. But the thought did cross my mind of, oh, people are going to look at me and they're going to see me crying and I'm going to look like this crazy person just walking around outside crying with my bathrobe and my pajamas. And it did cross my mind. But at the same time, my mind was in the habit of kind of zooming out and looking at in that larger perspective. And that larger perspective for me in that moment was, I'm grieving and I'm healing and I'm here for myself. Like, I'm doing this for myself. I'm not doing this to impress somebody, right? Impressing somebody should be like, my focus right now needs to be on taking care of myself. And that was enough for me to be able to take a walk around my complex and see my neighbors while I was crying in my bathrobe in my pajamas. And it sounds like a small thing, but if we look at the way our minds work throughout the day, we can see where these little insecurities come up. Another example I could give is I've been having these chronic hip issues for the last like 6 or 7 years. I've been like living in chronic pain. And I found somebody finally, I'd worked with many, many people, and I found somebody finally who was able to give me some exercise to help my hip. And so he would give me these exercises that I would need to do in the gym, but they were strange exercises, like to the outside observer. Like, they weren't like your traditional squats and lunges. They were weird things that look silly on the outside. Like, there was one where he had me like stand facing a wall like this, like super close to the wall and like staring in one spot and just moving your head like this. or moving your head like this. So I would be like in the gym, staring, like facing the wall, staring at the wall, just like moving my head in these wild ways. And in those moments, I would have those insecurities, right? Of, I look ridiculous right now. What are people thinking of me? But at the same time, my focus was so pointed, and my focus was, I need to be here to support myself because I cannot bear to live in pain for the rest of my life. So the price of looking silly in front of some strangers I don't know, you know, is very small compared to the reward of being out of this pain. And this is how I view it with binge eating too. We've had some clients who have been dealing with some insecurities that they need to overcome in order to live their life more fully as well. So we had a client, for example, who she had a fear. She wanted to go out more on walks, and she knew that her transition back into some exercise, walking would be a good thing because she enjoyed nature and she likes going on walks. And but she had this fear, she was always stopping herself because she had this fear that she needed to go out and look good to be on her walks because of her, she didn't want her neighbors to judge her. And she couldn't bring herself in the beginning to just, you know, go out and throw her hair in a ponytail and put on whatever shorts, whatever pants, whatever, and just go on a walk. She felt like in order to go on that walk, she needed to do her hair and she needed to do her makeup and she needed to pick out an outfit and she needed to do all these things. So it seemed like a much more daunting task to actually get out there and go on this walk. So we looked at it and we looked at, you know, okay, these neighbors that you're imagining who are looking out their windows and saying, oh, look at her. She didn't do her hair today. She didn't put on her makeup today. Look how bad she looks, right? This was like what she was imagining. And who knows, like most people, they'll give the advice of, oh, people aren't thinking about you. They're just thinking about themselves. And I think that that's true largely, but sometimes people do look at other people and are mean or critical. So I'm not going to say that her neighbors aren't going to look at her like that. Who knows what her neighbors are going to do? We can't worry about the neighbors, but what we can think about is what her deeper desire or what her deeper motivation was. And she knew that going on these walks, it was more than just about going on a walk. It was about shifting herself back into movement so she could live a healthy life and be able to play with her kids and be able to get herself into more types of exercise and to have energy and to just feel good and to get outside and to be in nature. This is how she wanted to be able to spend her day without this like crippling fear of what will others think of me if I'm walking around without makeup and without my hair done and being overweight and all this stuff. So we fast forwarded, right, to her deathbed. And I said, okay, you're laying on your deathbed. You know, are you still thinking about your neighbor's opinions? Like how much from 1 to 10 do you care about your neighbor's opinions at this point? And of course it was a 0. Who could care possibly on at the end of your life? Who's really thinking about what your neighbors were thinking of you in a walk? And it just was able to shift her perspective. Does it mean that the insecurities don't resurface at all? No. But the more we can remind ourselves of our deeper desires and our what this means for the grander scheme of our lives, the less we're bogged down by minutiae. The less we're bogged down by the opinions of others who we wouldn't normally think about, right? The less we're bogged down from the little things in life that don't really matter compared to the grand scheme. So for me, it's not necessarily that you need to think about death, but for me, thinking about death brings me back very quickly to the grand scheme. I also use this when me and Shahar first moved in together. And I could probably blame myself more than him, but I wasn't used to living with other people, and there was some fighting. And I was able to bring myself back to the grand scheme of things very quickly. And the faster that I did, the more quickly the fights would end, because I would find myself like criticizing him for these tiny things that really didn't matter. But as soon as I zoomed out and I imagined either me dying or Shahar dying, I immediately was like, oh, this could not possibly matter less. Like in the grand scheme of our lives and how much love I have for him, who cares about, you know, you know, closing the Ziploc bag extra tightly. You know, like these little things, they don't matter so much. So a lot of times when it comes down to what other people think of us, we can still categorize that as a little thing, right? Compared to if we're looking at the grand scheme of our lives and how we want to live. So when it comes down to, you know, your major life decisions, or even just these little things that come up during your day where you're worried about what other people think of you, I think with either of those things, it's important to zoom out. The way I zoom out fastest is I fast forward to my deathbed and I'm like, will this matter to me then? Like, how much do I really care about this? And then it usually sheds the perspective. But the idea behind that is this zooming out sort of perspective, looking at the grander scheme of things. And especially if you've had people, you know, criticizing you a lot, you know, it can be a little bit more challenging, right? Because when your self-esteem is already low, it's harder to be your own ally, especially if you've been trained to criticize yourself as well. Then it's a little more challenging. But ultimately, the more you practice being on your own side, speaking kindly to yourself is a good way to do that. Practicing noticing your language and noticing how you speak to yourself and adjusting how you speak to yourself when you're like, oh, I wouldn't talk to, you know, a child that way. If you wouldn't talk to a child that way, chances are, you know, you're criticizing yourself more than you have to. But the more you can ultimately zoom out and remember, what is your deeper desire for your life here? And what is your deeper desire for how you want to live? And see that in comparison to how small one person's opinion is, right? It starts to become a lot less significant, right? So what this boils down to, guys, is a redirection. We talk about this a lot when you're dealing with unwanted thoughts, unwanted emotions, that we don't necessarily have to avoid or try to push away or fight unwanted emotions. I would never advocate for like fighting someone, or I don't even see a need most of the time to even defend yourself, but just to like move on and do the inner work. Of course, I'm not advocating to put yourself in abusive situations and to sustain them. Please know that that's not what I'm advocating at all. But I'm talking about in general, right, to focus on that redirection. When you notice yourself caught up in that like minutia or those things that you know aren't going to matter long term or that truly aren't a big deal, to redirect yourself to the deeper motivation for yourself for doing that activity. So for me, going to, like I gave that gym example, for me, the deeper desire that was stronger than anything else was I need to heal myself. I need to heal myself because I don't want to live in pain. So if people are going to look at me weird, right, that's a small price to pay, right, for me having this freedom to move better within my body. I was also given, like when I was doing that rehab for my hip, I was walking and he told me to hold like wooden spoons while I was walking to like extend my arm. So I'm walking around and I'm taking long walks with wooden spoons. Did people look at me? Yeah. Did some people comment? Yeah. Did some people make fun of me because they don't know what the heck I'm doing? Sure. But how big of a price is that to pay for me to be out of pain, right? If you've been in pain for 7 years, like, and someone makes a few funny comments about you, it's a very small price to pay for the freedom to heal. So I see that in the same way of things connected to food and weight. It's incredibly important to get on your own side, to connect with your deeper motivations. And then when you find yourself being distracted by the opinions of others that you know in the long-term grand scheme of your life don't matter, it's just about redirecting yourself to what your deeper desires are and just seeing that comparison of how important that is compared to how unimportant the opinion that someone else holds of you is. So, of course, you know, there's big things and there's little things, but the practice is still the same. It's just a matter of reconnecting to your deeper motivation your long-term deep motivation that you know is important to you in the grand scheme of your life, and just redirecting yourself to that when you feel like, you know, you're starting to care what other people think about you. You just redirect yourself to that. Now, you don't need to expect, you know, your insecurities to go away overnight. You don't have, that doesn't have to, in order to see progress, that doesn't need to happen. Okay. You might still have these things come up, but the idea is we want to look at the trend. We want to see, are you caring more and more and more about what other people think? Or are you, do you still care, but you're caring less and less and less and less? And that's the idea, is we want to just get into that trend. Because if someone were to insult me and it was something that, you know, I still have that insecurity and it, you know, strikes a chord with me, I might still feel insecure, right? But I can see my overall trend is, as long as I've known myself, I'm now caring less and less and less about what other people think of me, not more and more and more. So I see myself headed in the direction that I'm interested in going. And this is the idea, is to keep yourself in headed in the direction that you're going, because then it's just going to be less and less of an issue in the future. It's like let's say you have a big fire in front of you, right? When you add logs to it, when you keep fueling it with those logs, it's going to grow. And when you stop fueling it, it doesn't mean the fire necessarily goes out right now just because you've stopped putting logs in it. It's still going to burn. But as long as you don't put any more logs in it, over time, the fire on its own will get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until it goes out eventually. So this is the idea. As long as we stop fueling, right, these insecurities and fueling, oh, and indulging, oh, what does this person think of me? And I'm going to indulge this fantasy of, ooh, what are their thoughts and what are they thinking about me? The more we indulge that, the more we grow the fire. The more we stop indulging that, and the more we just focus and redirect, what are my deeper motivations? What matters most for me in the grand scheme of life? When I'm on my deathbed and I look back on my life, you know, what decision will I wish I have made, right? That's going to help you to make these decisions that are more aligned with who you really are and what you really want versus your fear of what others might think of you. So this is the idea. And eventually the fire, when we stop fueling it, it's going to go out completely. So I hope that's helpful to you guys. You know, this is something that comes up a lot, so I thought I'd share my two cents. Of course, there's many different resources and ways to stop caring about what other people think of you, different practices that you can do. But I just find, you know, and you guys know me at this point, I like to keep things as simple as possible. So for me to just zoom out, connect with those deeper desires that I know I'm going to care about long term, that's going to be the thing that helps to put this into perspective of, this is just minutia, this is just something small, and this is not worthy of my attention at this time. So I hope you guys find that helpful, and remember that it's important, you know, to live your life the way that you feel aligned to live it. And so know that you do have people out there who are encouraging you to be yourself and to love yourself and to do the things that grow you as a human being and serve you as a human being. So get on your own side, be your ally. You have an important reason or reasons to be here. So live according to those reasons and not according to what others think of you. So I hope you guys find that helpful, and talk to you next time.